You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
I know that there were discussions that night amongst the Bell family. How had this happened? Why were they being punished? What had Elizabeth done to anger the ghost? I would guess that, had I looked, I would have seen the lights in that house shine all night and into the morning. Mr. and Mrs. Bell huddled in the living room with Elizabeth, afraid to sleep in case their poltergeist returned. But I couldn't stay to listen. That display was the most energy I had expended at one time in a while, possibly in my whole existence up to that point. I retreated to the woods and rested, waited for the brave Queen Elizabeth to return. Day following our first haunting was a Sunday, and the Bells never missed a church service. Elizabeth told me that after he had recovered somewhat, the first call that her father had made had been to William Grant, affectionately known to his congregation as Pastor Bill.
Now, you all know me. I consider myself a pretty prepared man, and I hope you would too. Each week, following Sunday service, I start to plan ahead for the next one. I think about myself, and think about you all, and I think about God. And I start to put together a story that we all may need to hear. I take some notes. Heck, I may even run it by the missus to make sure I'm hitting the right at the heart of what the Lord wants me to say. Well, sometimes we have something happen within our congregation that is so monumental and in need of address that I scrap all of that careful preparation and hard work, and I speak from the heart.
Amen.
Today is one such time. As some of you may have already heard, Last night, a family within our church was visited by an apparition. This apparition, cowardly, as all of Satan's instruments are, came to them while they were sleeping. He then waged an attack on this family, which culminated in a threat concerning their daughter. I know this may be shocking for some of you to hear. Safe as we are, cocooned in the loving arms of the Lord, it can be easy to forget that there is evil in this world. True evil that knows no reason or logic, but that seeks to draw us away from our Heavenly Father. Evil that is so consuming, so all-encompassing, it can't help but want to take us with it.
Pastor Bill was a true showman. I think he reveled in this moment, an episode of witchcraft in his congregation. What more could a rural, God-fearing preacher ask for?
Deuteronomy tells us this: there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Let's think on this. An abomination unto the Lord. And did you hear that? It's not just you. It's not just your wife, or your father, or your mother. It's your children. The generational curses work both ways, folks. And he said, you have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood. And they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy. And who's teaching the holy scriptures? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
That's Proverbs 22:6. Every single person in this room should be asking themselves, am I teaching the holy scriptures? Am I training up my child? Am I taking responsibility for their salvation in the name of Christ Jesus? And if that answer is no, I think you'd best be preparing yourself for a visit of your own. Now, before we close out our service today, I'd like to invite Brother John Bell up here to say a few words about his experience last night. Brother John?
Thank you, Pastor. My brothers in Christ, his wife and I have talked over this experience. We can only come to one conclusion. We're being tested. The Lord's seen us, all of us. He's seen our hearts and seen our failings as people and as parents. He's seen the leniency we've had with our daughter, the ways we've let her be of the world instead of him. From now on, there's no more room left for Betsy's quirks or oddness. No room for witchcraft to slip in and lead her away from the Lord. Now, we know we've got a long road to walk. So today, I come to you asking for your prayers. Pray for us to pass this test.
Amen.
Pray for the Lord to show us his infinite mercy. And pray for Betsy as we continue to try to train her up in the way she should go. Amen.
Later, when Elizabeth told me what her father had said, I was furious. How dare he embarrass her? How dare he speak about her like that? How dare he so drastically misinterpret our message? At that moment, I could have entered their house again. I could have smashed every glass, torn down every curtain. But I didn't. Our tactics needed revising, and I thought I had enough energy left to continue.
Kate, where are you?
I'm here.
Kate! Hello?
Elizabeth. Here. I'm right here.
I can't see you. Oh, there you are.
You couldn't see me at all?
No, you weren't here.
Right.
Oh, the house is chaos. Nearly everyone from church came. They wanted to see the curtains and the jug and the window. It's like a circus sideshow.
Did it work?
Oh, they're scared, Kate. I can tell. They don't know what to do, so they're grasping at straws with this test. But if we keep pushing them and they see what they're doing isn't working, I really think it'll break them.
I hope so.
We just need another haunting.
What if it backfires? They may just latch on to you harder.
Then we keep trying. I've never seen them like this, Kate. There's something different, I swear. You're strong enough to come back again, right?
Yes, whatever it takes.
It has to be more this time. A total rebuking of everything they said in church today.
I can break more glass.
More than that. What if you involve me?
Involve you how?
Make me part of the haunting, like pick me up or slap me or
I'd
something.
I'd never slap you.
No, I know, but just for this. Shock them.
I won't do it.
It doesn't have to be a slap. What if you possessed me? You could speak through me, tell them everything we want to say.
I don't know if I can do that. I've never tried before.
Well, it couldn't hurt to try, right? I really think it could work, Kate. We just need another shot.
And so I agreed. We put on a second haunting. We wouldn't do it immediately. We'd give them a few days. Lull her parents into a false sense of security. Allow them to think of the experience as a fluke. Maybe even imagine parts of it were a bad dream. Then, I'd return.
John. Oh, God. John is back. The sound is back.
Shh. Let me listen. The wind. Look. It's just the wind. Tapping that old dogwood branch against the window.
Thank the Lord. Oh, I thought it was back, John. I was so scared.
It's all right. It's gone. We're passing the test. It's not coming back.
Oh, that came from Betsy's room. Betsy, honey, did you knock over your water glass? Betsy? She's floating! You have to do something!
Leave, demon! We reject your kind! We dwell in the house of the Lord!
What's it doing, Betsy? Oh, Lord!
I don't know! I'm not doing anything! It has me! It's moving me!
John, do something!
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name!
Here, Betsy! I'll pull you down! Come here! You can't take her, demon! Grab my hand, baby!
Thy kingdom come! Thy will be done.
I'm trying, Mama. I can't use my arms.
On earth, as it is in heaven.
Come on, Betsy. I'll get you. Just come here.
I can't. Mama, I'm trying, really.
And then Elizabeth stopped talking, but I couldn't start. I tried to push my way in, enter her mind, become her. I was so close, like at the end of a dark path in our woods near the Bell's house. I could just see the circle of sunlight that indicated I was almost out. Then, I felt an overwhelming exhaustion. I couldn't think, couldn't move. My eyes closed, and when I opened them again, I was back at my tree in the woods. I don't know how long I waited in the woods. Couldn't have been more than a few days, but time became difficult to quantify. I was so tired and No matter how much I rested, I didn't feel better. Eventually, I heard Elizabeth calling. The sun had slipped below the Bell's house on the hill hours before. It had to be the middle of the night.
Kate?
She had snuck out again.
It's me, Kate. Are you here?
Elizabeth?
Kate, where are you? I can't see you.
I'm right in front of you.
No, you're not.
I am. Give me a moment.
What's happening? Why are you doing that? Kate, stop messing with me.
I'm not.
Why are you going in and out like that?
No more hiding from her. She had seen how weak I was. What I was lacking. I've lost a lot of energy. It's taken more effort to make myself visible to you.
I thought you didn't have to do that in front of me.
I didn't before. It's gotten harder.
Because of the hauntings. You've used yourself up on the hauntings, and now it's hard for me to see you. That's why you couldn't speak through me while you left.
I'm so sorry, Elizabeth.
Okay, you shouldn't be sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I pushed you too far. I didn't think...
I wanted to do it.
I shouldn't have let you. We should have tried something else. God, I'm so stupid.
Did it work, at least? I knew before I asked that it hadn't. Our grand plan only halfway executed. The Bells had heard neither Elizabeth's voice nor mine.
That doesn't matter. None of that matters. If you're not here, it's not worth it. What good is freedom if there's no you?
I'd like to try again.
What? No!
I mean it. I want to go back. I want to make it work.
But what if it's too much this time? What if it takes you away?
You've given so much to me.
I haven't given you anything.
You have. You've given me years. Years of humor and kindness and happiness. A life and existence that means something. You've taught me how to be brave.
But I'm not brave. I'm just a coward hiding behind you, getting you to solve all my problems while you hurt yourself.
I knew from the minute I saw you that you were the bravest person I'd ever meet. You were outnumbered by the other children, but you wouldn't give in.
It was just a crawdad.
And you've been brave every day of your life. To live in this town, to push back on the things you don't believe in, to be so unapologetically yourself. That's brave. If anything, I'm the coward.
Kate, no! Never!
I've taken so much from you because I was selfish. All of the times you could have been a regular teenager out with friends or at high school football games or hidden away with someone special. You've been with me.
That's what I wanted. I didn't need any of those things if I had you.
Think about the future, Elizabeth. If we both stay, what does your life look like?
I guess I do what Mama and Daddy want. I marry Josh Gardner. I move into a house with him and do the cooking and the cleaning. I have babies. And when I can, I sneak away to see you.
Are you happy?
With you, I would be.
What kind of a life is that? Happiness for an hour a week, misery the rest of the time. I would never want that for you.
But without you, there's no happiness at all.
Not if it works. Not if we change their minds. You can go away to school like we talked about. You can see new places and get older and experience the world. And no matter what happens to you, I'll stay here in the woods. Always the same. But you have so much potential. So much to experience. If you could leave your parents, if you could do whatever you wanted, what would your life look like?
I'd get a job. Maybe I'd work in town. Get a place of my own.
Think bigger than that.
I'd save some money. Maybe I could go away to school.
What's the school like?
It's fancy. Maybe there's some statues or ivy-covered walls. I'd major in something like counseling. I'd want to help people.
You'll be so good at that. What else will you do?
I'll travel. I'll see new places that no one from here has ever seen before. I'll sit in coffee shops and watch all the people come in and make up stories about them in my head. And I'll miss you.
Don't you deserve a life like that?
I don't know.
Well, I do. You deserve everything you want. Let me help you get it.
What if I'm not good enough for any of that? What if I try and I fail and I end up back here living with Mom and Daddy just like everyone else? And then I won't even have you.
You won't fail. You're the most amazing person I've ever known.
No offense, Kate, but you haven't known very many people.
Maybe not, but I've seen them. I've watched people from the woods for years, and you're the most determined, most compassionate, bravest person I've ever seen. Everything that you want, you'll have. I promise you.
How do you know that?
I'm magic, remember?
But I love you, Kate. I've never met anyone like you.
I love you, too.
Can't that be enough?
I wish it could.
Me too.
In the end, she agreed. There were tears and memories and more confessions of our love for each other. As we set up our third and final haunting, she knew what needed to be done. But there was still the shred of hope that she couldn't shake.
Maybe it won't take all of you. Maybe there'll be something left for me to come back to.
But I think we both knew I was just wishful thinking. Everything that I had left, I would pour into this last push for her liberation. I couldn't imagine a better way to go.
John, it's back. It's here.
Betsy!
Oh,
Mama! Daddy, stay back!
Put her down, demon! The power of Christ compels you!
Again, fatigue began to overtake me. I felt my grip on her slipping, just as I thought that it would be too much that I'd wake up again in the woods, weaker than ever and with nothing to show for it. I heard her voice.
Well, I don't think you're scary. I think you look nice. You know, I don't think I've ever met anyone like you.
I love you, Kate. Can't that be enough?
In that moment, it could be enough. Enough for me to keep going. I reached down into myself, I pulled everything out, and I stepped out of our woods and into the light at the end of the path.
Her whole life you've hidden. Hidden your hate behind your Bible.
Hidden your thoughts behind obedience.
Hidden your daughter behind your expectations.
You cannot be allowed to hide any longer.
Your neglect will be brought into the light, and you will reap what you sow.
Stop it! Stop! Joan, make it stop! It's hurting her!
Can I hurt her more than you, allowing her to suffer in the name of duty? Can I hurt her more than you, John Bell, pushing her away in shame, robbing her of her freedom and her choice? Any pain that occurs here falls on your shoulders alone.
The kindness and strength that exists inside me is there in spite of all your attempts to tear it out. You bring shame upon our family with your closed mind and your cruelty. Would you give anything for me?
Yes, anything. Please, we'll give you anything.
Give me freedom. Let me forge my own path. Support me. Accept me.
Won't negotiate with you, demon. We live by the Lord's rules alone.
Please, Mama. Please. It's what I want. Please.
Yes. Yes, anything. Anything that you want. We'll give you anything. Betsy. Oh, Betsy, honey, I thought we'd lost you.
The rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord.
No, John. No more. We're done. It's done.
Now, Lucy, we won't negotiate with the demonic.
I said no. We almost lost our daughter. Can't you see that? Let it be over. Let her be who she wants to be.
After that, the Bell family was free of any broken glasses or bumps in the night. Their story became something of an urban legend, with many people questioning whether their haunting had ever happened at all. Was it not just an attention grab to get John Bell on the good side of the local pastor and explain away their daughter's oddities? In spite of the town's whispers, Elizabeth's parents were true to their word. She was given her freedom. At her father's recommendation, she got a job at the dentist office in town while she continued taking classes at the technical college in Bradford. Once she had saved enough money, she went away to college. She met people who had never heard of her small town or the hauntings that had happened there. I hear the school had plenty of statues. Even several ivy-covered walls. She sat in coffee shops, she traveled, and she helped people. And she found someone to share it all with. I see them sometimes when she returns home to visit her mother, Elizabeth, and her wife, and their little girl. They never stay away for too long. Always coming back here to her first home, hoping to show others like Elizabeth, who may be scared, maybe in hiding, that there's hope for their future. They call their daughter Katie. Elizabeth never looks my way, but Katie's eyes always linger just a bit too long on the tree where her mother and I used to meet. She can't see me here. Of course, no one can. Where once stood the pretty girl in the green dress, nothing remains. I still exist, I think, more of a whisper now than a true ghost. Whatever's left of me floats in the trees of our woods. Perhaps one day, if I'm lucky, I'll fade away to wherever spirits go when their purpose is fulfilled. I don't have any regrets. There are still small joys to be found here. When I get lonely, I can't call the butterflies to me like I used to. But I notice an unusual number of them stop by all the same. I have them. I have my beloved woods. And I have my memories. When looking at the whole, I consider myself pretty lucky. it's not everyone who gets to love and be loved by a brave queen in the woods. It almost sounds like something out of a fairy tale. Now that we've reached the end of my story, I'd like to go back to the beginning and repeat the words that a man who knew neither me nor Elizabeth wrote about us. It is not the purpose of the writer to present a romance for the entertainment of lovers of fiction, nor to establish a theory to please the fancy of adherents of so-called theosophy, but simply to record events of historical fact, testifying to the most wonderful phenomenon the world has any account of. A visitation known as the Bell Witch.
Oh, dear child, come to me. You will never fall. We could cross the galaxies.
You've been listening to Feminist Fairy Tales, an audio drama podcast that reimagines the genre of fairy tales through a feminist lens. This episode was performed by Virginia Spotts, Lev Rodriguez Shivers, Melissa J. Lackey, Connor Beshoven, and George Hochter. Episode script by Brooke Aaron Smith. Sound design by Van Winkle. Directed by Jenny Grinnell. Feminist Fairy Tales is produced by Madeline Regina, Van Winkle, Jenny Grinnell, Madeline Dorta, and Emma Love. Theme music composed and produced by Juliana Marin. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the next story in our season. Thank you for joining us in the Forest of Feminist Fairy Tales.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolph as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolph Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.